All right, who's kicking us off? Larry, I know you're on, and I think I heard one or two more chimes there. Who else is with us? Did I lose everybody?
Larry's still here.
Okay.
I can get started whenever you
do. Yeah, fired up. What's going on here last couple days?
It should be a quicker update. So I stuck with two bird dogs. I have like five other people that were interested, but the two seem to be at a pace that I can accept.
Yep.
Together they have like 150 leads so far, and there's going to be some more coming in tonight.
Cool.
I did not get those skip trace yet, so I have to hire the skip tracer to – well, I have to get the skip tracer to trace the buyers, and I still have to scrub the bird dog lead before I can send them to the skip tracer. So I won't get that
done
until Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, do you have an ad on Upwork for skip tracing?
Not yet, so I'll get that done tonight.
Yeah, get that posted because it'll take you a day or two to find somebody. It could. So, yeah, get that posted in the meantime for sure.
Yep. So I'll get that one up and
yep.
And I'll get those leads to them on Friday. I want to be on the phone on Monday, and I can try to work through the logistics of the calls this weekend so that I'll be ready for Monday.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds good. You may, when you're checking with that skip tracer, tell them how many leads you have and make sure they can handle it. If they can't, you got to hire two this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's what I have to go back and look at that video. So I want to pay per contact, but, I mean, how do you normally structure your pay? Like, I want to pay per contact, but then I would imagine that they can get more than one number for a contact. So I don't know if I need to pay.
Yeah, you're not paying per phone number. You're paying per contact record that they skip trace. So – if you're paying per record, you're looking at like 40 to 75 cents per, somewhere in there.
Okay. That's my question.
That's kind of the range that I've heard and hired people at. So, and when you think about it, I mean, you're paying a bird dog $3 to go pull in a lead, and then you're going to have a VA skip tracer, even if you're at the, you know, the high end of that. So you've got a good vacant lead for $3.75.
Right.
I mean, that's incredibly cheap. So, yeah, even at the high end. But, yeah, see if you can get them around 40 or 50 cents per record, not per phone number.
I understand.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to jump in real quick on that, if I could.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mike Austin.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing? So I have access to TLO, and I wanted to offer that out to anybody who, if they need help. It is $1. If I want to get like 40, 75 cents, I'm going to have to batch them, but I can help anybody out. I mean, the info is superior to most of the other skip tracing.
Yep. The hallowed TLO.
Yeah.
And somebody
in order for me to get like, you know, 40 cents, I need to do 1,200 a month. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, it's worth it. So. The other question I had that kind of rolled into what you just said about the 375, I've been trying to get a couple bird dogs going this week, and one of them didn't really do anything yet. I sent them out on the 12th. I haven't gotten anything back. The other one I called to follow up today, she said she felt like $3 wasn't really worth her time. I've also been kind of incentivizing people that if they get me 250 within 4 days, I'll give them a bonus of $125. That's too much.
So
you know
whatever to
get it done. I mean, $3 per. Say hey,
right.
It's common to get 10 to 12 an hour. So I don't know what your day job is, but are they paying you $30-some-odd an hour? They might be, but they're probably not.
Okay.
Right. So it's not a per lead thing. It's you're not going to send them to a zip code and have them find two.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So I'm going to send you to a place where there are going to be some vacants. So you drive around for an hour. Find 10 of these, this will be the easiest $30 an hour you've ever made.
Right.
And
I told him that's a good one. I didn't realize how to put in the 10 to 12 hour framework. But I also mentioned that, you know, this can be a learning experience for them. If we close some deals, which they brought me, I can give them a referral fee and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, be careful on that one. If they're not licensed, you can't pay them for closing. So that's why we pay per lead.
Okay,
gotcha. That way, we have already paid for services rendered. If you want to pay somebody based on a closing, you got to have a JV agreement or something in place that explains the relationship, because they are not licensed.
Okay.
Most likely. So, yeah, and here's the thing about Bird Dogs, Michael. You're going to go through a couple.
Right.
I've got a guy right now that I had to go through three in one of the markets, and he's been great. But I've got other cities where I'm just blowing through three, four, five, six. You just gotta go through them. People say they're gonna drive, and then things get in the way, and then they don't, and then
right.
You know, sometimes you go through two, sometimes you go through 15. Just depends.
Okay. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
One of the incentives that what worked for me with these people, you know, but this is my first go around, is I'm paying them daily. Like, so I told them what my goal is. I told them that they have the opportunity to get it. I give them like a zip code at a time. And whenever they come back with the leads, I look over, I spot check them, and then I transfer the money over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I talked to Mike, and I'm giving them a zip code at a time. Oh, that was the other thing, the follow-up question. Thank you for reminding me. Was how can I help them navigate? Is there any way to help them kind of figure out what roads to drive? This one girl was like, I don't know, like in the zip code, like should I just go back and forth? Is there any like MapQuest or something that we can help them with a tool?
That's a good question. Not that I know of. You know, I've been telling them to, you know, start here, you know, here are the streets, pick a boundary, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Southwest corner, northeast corner, you know, it doesn't matter. And then just start zigzagging up and down the roads.
Right.
That's most effective. Yeah, if you guys find something, and if I have time, I'll look into it. Like a, it's almost like
I actually have something.
Where you go for a run, and it'll track your where you went.
Yeah, I actually have something. I'm looking into it, and I wanted to tell the group after I got it all figured out. But it's an app that we can also all start utilizing to get to our bird dogs. It's like 20, 40 bucks a month. But they can pin and put the picture, and it'll pull up all the information automatically within the app. And you have a website. So we can give them access. They can drive around and just basically utilize this app to give us the information. It would be like FreedomSoft, but we pull more info out of this, I think. You get like basically beds, baths, who owns it, the name, you get the tax records behind it and everything. So it's pretty neat, but I'm still trying to work with these guys to figure out if it's actually worthwhile.
Gotcha. Yeah, really, and all we really need from the bird dog is the address.
Right.
Beyond that, you know, their job is, I don't really care how many beds and baths it is yet, just go find me another. Just go find me another vacant address.
Gotcha.
So,
well, that's what this thing does, is it will actually, you just put the address in with the picture, and it'll give you all that info automatically.
Right.
So, but I'll look into it and see if it's worthwhile for us to all kind of maybe get involved in.
Is HomeSnap working for you?
What's that?
I don't use HomeSnap. Or are you asking Michael?
I'm asking Mike.
Yeah, HomeSnap works okay. I use HomeSnap for myself. Like I said, my bird dogs haven't really gotten out there yet, so I'm hoping to see if HomeSnap works for them. But yeah, I'm using it.
I have an Android, and HomeSnap didn't work for me, but I was able to find an app called My GPS Camera, and everybody that I've used, they didn't have a problem with zip codes. With, you know, directions for zip codes, and because the app does show pull up an address, not always, sometimes it's a range of addresses, not always the exact address, but it tells them what zip code they're in, and they didn't have, the people that I've been working with, nobody's asking me how to know what zip code they're driving.
Gotcha. And this My GPS Camera works that?
Yeah, it works. Now you have to make them verify. They still have to give you the street address. Because it's not always accurate, or sometimes it'll give you a range.
Right.
But I like it. I still like using something like that because it keeps them from just throwing addresses at me with no check and balance.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you. What's your name?
Oh, Larry.
That's Larry.
Larry, thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, guys, if depending on your bird dog, some if they're using Home Snap on an iPhone, it just works better than an Android. Larry's talking about a different version there. That can be handy. Here's what I tell them to keep the technology out of it. Take a picture of the house with your phone. Email that picture in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They grab the unique email address tied to their campaign. Save it in their phone book, in their phone, and call it Vacant Houses. And then they just email that photo to that record, put the subject or the address in the subject line, and hit send. Where HomeSnap comes in pretty handy is if the house is missing numbers, they can't figure out the address. So,
because HomeSnap, they can take a picture and it gives them. Oh, that's right.
There,
I forgot about that.
There isn't a right or wrong way to do it, but okay. If they're getting tripped up on the technology, bypass it and just have them take a photo and email the picture.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
Yeah, if you've got a young kid out of college and he's a programmer or whatever, and you want to throw technology at him, more power to you. I've got one gal that's driving, and she's got to be in her mid-50s, I would guess, something like that. And so we're not going down the technology road. I showed her how to do this on her iPhone, and I said, hey, grab HomeSnap if you want to go do this, but. You know, she didn't want to use any of the tech. So I said, okay, here's how we're going to do it. Just make it simple.
So, okay, great.
Either way it works.
All right.
Either way it works. Yep. But yeah, you'll, like Larry, he came out of the gate and he's got 150 leads here in his first week. And we've had other people that they've been in here for, a couple weeks or longer, but like, where are the bird dogs? Why won't somebody just show up and do something? And it's just run into different hurdles. So, it's just,
okay.
Sometimes people are just going to be flaky. Keep the ad posted, keep talking to folks.
Okay.
Think of any.
Larry, which markets are you in?
I had you guys muted. I'm in El Paso. So the added thing that goes along with El Paso is a lot of these people are primarily Spanish speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are older, some of them are younger, and I have to. So what I do is I'll find out how quickly they can start. I give them an overview of what I'm going to do is I need to create some kind of cheat sheet that I can email them that explains everything. But I go in phases. I have the ad in Craigslist. I had to take it down because I was getting too many calls. But I had the ad in Craigslist, and once they text me or call me, most of them text me, I find out how quickly. I tell them, that basically they're taking pictures of boarded-up houses and vacant houses. And then I ask them, once they have more questions, I ask them how quickly they can start.
Gotcha.
And if they're interested, then I make them get the app and send me a test picture of anything.
Gotcha.
And once they send me the text picture, then I transfer them $1. By doing that, they establish to me that they can send me a picture, and I establish to them that I can pay them.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you want to do that right on the phone. I was talking to a kid yesterday and said, hey, man, take a picture of the floor you're standing on and send it over. And what's your PayPal email? And I said, I'd pay $3 a lead, but I'll pay you $5 for the test photo to make sure our systems are connected. And lead comes in, and $5 went over. So
right, and they already get, and they're paid, so now they've got momentum. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, they just know that, because some people see this and they're like, well, that's not even a job. What do you mean? So they're trying to fill out if you're even legit. So send them some money.
Right. Right. They try to make sure you're not a scam. And some people, like, they're so eager to get started. I don't even let them get started, because I've had some people that hadn't verified their PayPal and it won't let me pay them. And so I don't want them to go out here and do all of this work and then find out that we have some barrier to them getting paid.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the people side of every business. You just. Whatever. Keep finding people until you have somebody that's good. So, and then once you do, one or two, that are hungry, even if they're part-time, they'll keep you busy. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah, good stuff.
Awesome.
That's a key piece.
Yeah, that's huge.
Because these leads will trump the Postal Service leads. They're just a notch or two better.
For sure.
Michael, how long have you had TLO for?
I've had TLO for a while. I don't make the best use of it because you know, you're not supposed to mark it, as they say. So sometimes when you use it too often, they'll hit you. They just came back and, like, checked my place again, and they're asking me what I do. I was telling them I reach out to find people with tax overages because I'm not marketing to them. I'm reaching out to them because they have money waiting at the government, at the county. And they were like, oh, well, send us some paperwork. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll get that over to you. I've been trying to figure out what to do with the phone. Yeah, but
yeah,
if I could do it one at a time, it'd be a good deal. Yeah,
something goes sideways with them, either get a LexisNexis account or find a VA with Lexis.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and like I said, with CLO, it's a dollar. But if we all wanted to maybe join together, I should be able to, you know, squash their concerns here when I get a agreement with a mortgage broker that I work with, that I help him find people that aren't paying their mortgage. Once I have that in place, I can get the batches started, and, you know, that's going to be, you know, 40, 50 cents a pool, which is going to be a hell of a lot better.
Right.
Dollar. But it needs to be like 1,200 names at once or 1,200 addresses at once.
Yeah, they have a lot of hoops to jump through, I've heard. We've always stayed away from them because of that.
Yeah.
So, right on.
Not too bad, though, but they give you, like, 12 numbers, like, 8 addresses. I mean, you get everything, and they give you percentages of which one is the most likely. It's very in-depth.
Yeah, I've always heard it was the best. I know it's backed by TransUnion, right? Credit Bureau?
Right.
So.
Yeah, they need to come out to your house and do an inspection, all this kind of stuff, so, or your office, wherever you might be working.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So LexisNexis, though. Okay, I'll check into that.
Yeah, it's LexisNexis. That one's solid. Rob's just using Intellius, which is like $20 a month.
Right.
For membership. He's getting plenty of numbers off that. I think Lexis is a notch better.
Okay.
TLO is the best. Never used it just because all the hoops they make you jump through. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if anyone ever wants to reach out to me, I can give everybody my email address. If you guys have anything that you can't find, I'd love to help.
Cool. Good stuff. Who else? What other questions? Updates?
Hey, Mike. My name is Sawyer. I'd like to go next.
Hey, Sawyer.
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, I'm acquisitions manager for Darren. He put me on this call to talk with you guys. I started out with Darren several months ago, just basically doing acquisitions for him in the Pittsburgh market. And we started off doing really well. We didn't know much about the market, obviously, because we're doing it virtually. But the first month or so, we were getting contracts like every other day in the zip code. And it was pretty phenomenal. And when we go to try to sell them, it turns out that this is a poor zip code, and it was very difficult to sell any of these deals, and those deals have since expired. We had a disposition manager, and he actually hasn't been working out, so I started taking over the role of that. So Darren kind of set me up today to ask a bunch of questions, where we're struggling, and how we can kind of move forward.
Okay.
All right, so I just want to start off with the acquisition side. I'm not really sure how much time I have to ask questions. Is there like a set amount? This is my first time on a call.
Yeah. It depends on how many people are
on
here. We'll go. Let's go about 10 minutes.
Just give me a
half hour. Good. Right,
who else
here?
Is on?
Yeah, I don't know. Give me an estimate here. I got a lot of questions. I got to know.
I think a half hour, right, Mike?
Yeah, Darren already knows the answers. So.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry. Go ahead. Let's go for about 10 minutes, and then we'll see who else is in.
All right, got it. All right, I'll start with the acquisition side. So I know there's a number of lead generators, but just in your perspective thus far, in your experience, what has been your most effective lead generator?
Bird dogs. That's why it's taught.
Just bird.
That's why we do
bird dogging.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
The highest percentage, the highest percentage that the seller wants to sell is on a vacant house. Because vacant real estate costs money. Period.
Got it. And then so, how do you increase the effectiveness of the bird dogs? Because you send them out to a zip code. How do you really know that they're just driving around every single street and getting all the streets that you want to in the zip code? Or what if they're just kind of driving down, you know, a third of the streets? How do you increase the effectiveness of the bird dog itself?
Ask them where they're driving. Say, hey, you're going to be driving every street in the zip code. So here's the map. I send them the link to United States zip codes .org with the link, and it's got the perimeter and the boundary. So it shows, and clear it out. Clear one zip code at a time. And depending on how big it is, it'll take them a couple days.
So it's United States zip
code.net? Yeah, it's just a postal service site. I think it's United States zip codes.org.
Okay, I'll check that out. All right, thank you. Next question I have is when you have a motivated seller who's wanting to sell you their property, and you're looking to make an offer, how do you do so if there isn't enough good data to get a good ARV or rent number to kind of come up with a good offer? Because I've had a few properties where the data is few and far between to get good numbers. What do you do in that situation?
There's always data to find. So even if you have to go for, you know, rental price per square foot, you can do the same thing with ARV. Houses in that neighborhood are selling for X amount per square foot. Or if you can take 5 or 10 rentals from the surrounding area, you know, just grab those and do a rental price per square foot. But here's the thing. This all goes back to where to tell your bird dogs to go. So, Darren, I know you're on because I heard you chime in, but we went and bought I walked him through how to buy a list on ListSource and then map it. That tells you where to go. So, sorry, you were talking about you had some deals that you tied up and nobody was buying there. So that shouldn't happen because what you do is you want to generate leads where you have data that says investors are buying. That data comes from two places, conversations with buyers that say I'm buying these 10 zip codes, and they'll tell you where they're buying, or ListSource, where you can pull the absentee owner transactions and map them. So you know exactly where buyers are buying. So it all starts with that, with data. So we're not just picking a city and then saying, hey, let's just drive every zip code. Not necessarily. Some cities, you'll go, and there will be investor activity everywhere because investors will buy just about everywhere in the city. You'll go to others, and there will be three distinct pockets of investor activity, and that's it. So that's why you map it, because it gives you a visual on where it is. So we always, always go to data. And when it comes to where to send bird dogs, that's where data comes from. Conversations with legitimate buyers and asking them, where do you buy? And you go into ListSource and buy that absentee owner list and map it. So once you have that, you know there's activity in the area. So then to go to answer your last question, which was how do you find a value, once you map that data, because what I showed Darren how to do in the process, you buy, you add to your list last market sale date and last market sale price. So now you go into the map, you find where your subject property is, you click on all the pins around it, and it'll show you what it's sold for and the date. And so now you know if investors are paying 15 grand in this area, you better be at 10 so you can mark it up.
Yeah, and Mike, I think we ran into this issue with Pittsburgh specifically. For some reason, the data there is just not as accurate or even prevalent as other cities like Cleveland. We checked in there, and ListSource doesn't really have a ton of information on in terms of absentee buyers, and same with in FreedomSoft. You know, it has the cash buyers, and you can see the list of the amount of cash buyers for each zip code. We went in there, and there was 12 for the total of the entirety of Pittsburgh.
Well, how far back did you go?
We went back 6 months to 12 months. There's something wrong with Pittsburgh specifically.
Go back 3 to 5 years. Yeah, Pittsburgh is slow in getting data recorded to the city. It's either slow getting to the city or it's slow from the city to the data providers like ListSource.
Okay, so just kind of – if we're running that problem in a city, just go back further.
Yeah, and you can even call property managers, get a hold of buyers,
okay.
get a hold of landlords, and say, what's your ballpark rent per bedroom?
Okay.
It's a two-bed house. What do you think? Or ask them, do you do it off beds or do you do it off square footage? How do you estimate
okay.
a rent? Outside of, I mean, you can go to Rentometer, Zilpy, and Zillow, get a number
yep.
there. But at the end of the day, you don't have to have a perfect number. Get the house under contract. Start talking to your buyers. They'll either take it if it's a deal. If your price is too high, they'll tell you. And if it is, go back to the seller and try and renegotiate. So even if you don't know, tie it up at some price. I mean, you should be able to go to data. But if what you're telling me is we can't find anything, tie it up on a hunch, take it to your buyers, and they'll tell you if you're priced right or not. If you are, they'll take it, and if not, they'll tell you you're too high.
Okay, and then you can go back and try to renegotiate. Is that the process usually?
Yep. Yeah, that's
okay.
why you have that 21 to 30-day inspection period typically.
Yep.
Go back to the seller, and if you fully disclose what you're doing anyway and say, hey, I'm going to take this to buyers, you go back and say, hey, we took it to the buyers, and this price is too high. Here's where we need to be. I think I can get it moved at this price. Does that new purchase price work for you? And it either does or it doesn't.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Another thing I've been kind of running an issue with is, you know, a lot of the time sellers will not know how much they owe specifically on the house or they don't really disclose its true condition. They might be like, I might owe like 10 when it's really like 50 or something like that. Or they tell the clinicians like, yeah, it's rental ready and there's water damage. How do I go about getting this accurate info in this regard before I make an offer? Because I can, you know, like you said, I should just
again,
make an offer, but.
Again, you can only go off what they're telling you. So ask a lot of questions and be thorough. You know, if I were to walk into it right now, what would be obvious that I need to repair before I could put a renter in this house?
Okay.
Ask them that specific question. Yeah, ask them if there's any water damage. Ask them if there's this, that, and the other. Now, some people might just lie to you. Nothing you can do about it. When you'll find out is you'll get it tied up based on the information that you have. Call your buyers. They're going to want to go through the property. And, this isn't on you. Say, hey, sorry, you're going to go check this property out this afternoon. Here's what the seller told me. I personally haven't been through it. Here's what they said about the condition. Go take a look. You know, let me know if you're interested. And they'll come back and they'll tell you, right? Because you want to follow up with them after they go through
it. Yeah, they will.
Or if it's your first one, say, hey, do me a favor. Call me when you're there. I want to know if this guy lied to me or not about the condition of the property.
Yeah.
They'll typically say, yeah, that's fine. And then just have them tell you. So if it's more beat up than they said, inspection period, hey, we had somebody go through it. Here's what you told me about the property. Here's what we found out about it. Because I just had a guy call me while he was inside. Based on that, here's what the new price needs to be. Does that number work for you or not?
Okay. Got it. All right, that's definitely helpful.
You can't make somebody not lie to you. You just have to.
No, I know.
That's what inspection periods are for. So
okay.
That's part of it.
So during that inspection period, definitely go in, get it opened, have someone take pictures and kind of clarify.
Send buyers.
You can
send a bird dog if you want and have them shoot a video or take a bunch of photos.
Okay.
But your best bet is to send a legitimate buyer to the property. And they will tell you what it looks like.
It's cheaper to do it that way, too.
That's true. It is cheaper to do it that way.
You don't have to pay for the trip charge. Yep. Yeah, send
the
buyer.
I mean, you got to get it open somehow. You got to pay someone unless they want to just open up the boards. I can do that.
Yeah, sometimes you have to bring a hammer, and that can be the instruction. So when you get it under contract and you're talking to the seller, because you're disclosing what's going to happen, you're going to say, hey, I'm going to have to get people inside the house for inspection. So is the back door open? What's the condition of it? You know, do you have a lockbox? Can I put a lockbox on it? You got to go through the questions. How's it going to be? And sometimes it is bring a hammer and a screwdriver and go pull this back window off and whatever. It's usually you don't have to pull a board off, but That's
yeah.
within yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah,
these
no,
vacant,
it's been done.
Vacant beat up houses. So yep.
It's been done. Okay, I got that. I guess we can move into more disposition side. So I kind of just wanted to be walked through when you get a signed contract, the steps you take towards, you know, releasing it and selling off the property and assigning it. Just what steps you usually take.
What do you mean? Once a property's under contract?
Yeah, I mean, I know some steps that I take. I just want to hear from your experience, like right when you get under contract, from the day you get under contract, what steps you take to go ahead and sell that contract or
pick
assign
up the
that
phone,
contract.
Pick up the phone and start calling. If you want, you can, if you have if you have phone numbers, you can do a broadcast text message to your buyers.
Okay.
And then get ready to pick up the phone. You won't, until you have a lot of credibility with buyers in the market, you're not going to sell a deal on a text message or an email. In the future, that'll happen. For now, get the information out there, and then start calling.
Yeah. Now, when you're picking up the phone and calling people, who are you calling? If you have a small buyers list, you only have a few buyers. What if you don't have many buyers yet?
Yeah, that buyers list has to grow.
Okay.
That has to be a daily. You have to talk to 3 buyers a day.
Okay.
Or 5, or whatever the case. But that list has to grow.
That's too low, Mike. I told him 10 per hour. He's got to call.
I'm doing 20 per second, actually.
20
now.
Per minute, yeah. 20 per minute.
So 20 per second.
Yeah,
I already talked to 3 buyers in that conversation.
Buyers list has to be growing, and you can put an ad on Craigslist to get it out there. It's better if you get proactive about it, though.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm assuming Darren has shared with you the places you find them, but
yeah.
People post on Craigslist. Buyers do that say, I'm looking to buy a house. Property managers, you know, you can skip trace the cash buyers or out of Freedom Soft. You can send postcards to the cash buyers out of Freedom Soft. Real estate clubs, Facebook groups, title companies. I mean, you can just Google cash buyers in Pittsburgh, real estate buyers in Pittsburgh. People will pull up, you know, you'll find them that way. You go
sure.
to the... go to Craigslist for Pittsburgh, go to real estate for sale, and then at the top of the page there are 3 drop downs. And the third one over from the left will say real estate for sale. Click it and then go down and click on real estate wanted. And it'll be
okay,
all the I'm looking for property stuff. And then I like going into FreedomSoft, pulling up, go back 3 to 5 years, pull cash buyers and grab the ones that have bought multiple. And have your VA, a lot of times it's a company or an LLC, have your VA do some online research for you and see if they can track down a website or a phone number or whatever they can find.
Got it. And
so,
just, this is a quick question actually for Darren, if you're on. Do you remember on ListSource, were there many absentee buyers on ListSource for Pittsburgh? Do you remember? Could we still get some?
I did pull that list. Yeah. I paid for it. So I just got a,
how many, what did you buy? About 1,000 records.
I don't know. Let me look while we're on the phone here. I don't really know the answer off the top of my head.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's what we found out about Pittsburgh. We use ListSource. We went back 12 months and there were 30. So I said, that doesn't sound right. Let's go back 24 months. And there were, I don't know, a couple thousand.
So okay.
They
was an error.
They appear to be 6 to 12 months behind. So I mean, Pittsburgh's huge. There's a bunch of activity there. It's just not.
Yeah, there is.
It's just not getting. And I think I can't remember who it was. One of our students was talking to somebody who was an attorney or a judge or somebody in Pittsburgh and worked for the state. And he goes, "No, they get recorded quick." So it seems like the recording process there is fine. There's a delay in when the data aggregators like ListSource can get a hold of the data. It seems like that's where the delay was.
I guess there's a waiting period for it to be purchased or something.
Yeah,
I'm
hard to say.
Sure. And then I got something just to share with the folks that are listening in terms of adding buyers. I've started to try using Bigger Pockets, that network. And that's actually started to be really good for me. I've been adding, you know, a buyer or so a day just of messaging people. You can, if you have the pro account, you can search per zip code and do it by like 20 miles in wherever city you are. And you can, you know, message buyers through that, send private messages, and then they, each person has a profile and they say really what they're looking for and their goals are. And usually you can find a lot of people who are looking for wholesalers on Bigger Pockets, and you can also post ads on their marketplace and get some stimulation that way. So that's just a helpful tip that I've encountered was beneficial for me.
Yep. The forums are okay. Pay attention to who specifically. A lot of people talk a pretty good game online. What really holds water, or, you know, holds weight is when you look them up and you see that, you know, that company name is a, you know, that they've bought 20 or 30 in the last 6 months or whatever the case. So you're really just after, I mean, this is, you know, it's like anything else. A lot of people call themselves real estate investors. Very few, you know, a small percentage do a deal. A very small percentage do a lot of deals. You get a handful of those buyers in Pittsburgh, that's all you need. But what you have to do is keep talking to buyers in every, you know, like you're saying, find them anywhere you can, have a conversation with them, and, you know, ask all of them, how many houses have you bought in the last 6 months? Just out of curiosity, how many are you looking to buy in the next, you know, in the next 6 months? Because you got to know these things. You just ask them, do you pay cash, hard money, private money, what do you use? And that's all, you know, those questions are all scripted out in the coaching center that that Darren has access to. But, yeah, you have to talk to a lot, build a big buyers list so that you have five buyers that are looking to buy multiple deals every month. Once you get there, go generate leads where they want them. And that's the thing about, you know, you get a buyer on the phone that says, I just want these five zip codes and I have $500,000 to spend. Halt the press, call your bird dog, say report to these five zip codes ASAP. I mean, I've mentioned a few times, I'm on a guy's list, and he sent an email to me 2 weeks ago that says he has $773,000 to spend this month in November on property. So
it's pretty exact.
Know, go find, yeah, he even put an 18 cents on there to let people know that he wasn't kidding. Yeah, just that's all you're after. A handful of
those. Okay.
I mean, Brad and Rob sell to like five turnkey buyers in Memphis. That's all they need because they're always looking.
Okay,
five buyers with a deep pocket.
I've got 1,400 buyers on the list here. We've got to get it over to our Skip Tracer to see if we can find. A lot of them are LLCs, so he's been having a hard time finding the contact information for LLCs, but
so this
that's based on Secretary of State websites. They're pretty easy to find in Colorado, but that's not the case in every state. So
I'll share the link with you, Sawyer.
Try that. There's a site called Corporation Wiki. Try that. You can type in LLC and corporation names sometimes and find some data.
Corporation Wiki.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me see who else.
Let
me see who else has questions, Sawyer, and then if we have time at the end.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you answering these questions, Mike.
Yep. Who else? Questions and updates. And if nobody chimes in and you have more, rock and roll. I'll just check here quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who else? Somebody has a good update on a Thursday.
We're trying. We're certainly trying.
How many buyers have you guys talked to in Pittsburgh and specifically asked them and they've told you, bring me something in these five zip codes?
How many buyers have I talked to in terms of what zip codes they buy in?
Yeah. How many buyer conversations have you had? Yeah.
In the past week, probably 15 to 20.
Okay. And what did you ask them? What questions?
I asked them how long they've been buying for, where they're looking to buy for.
Yep.
Told them a little bit about us and our background, and had just a conversation about why they got involved in real estate, just to build rapport, and then talked to them about some of the deals that we have going on, and then sent them over the deals and our analysis and see if we can sell those deals. That's basically
cool.
It's if you have other questions I should ask them, I'm more than happy to ask more questions. I guess that's off the top of my head what I would ask them.
Yeah, what they buy, property type, single family, multi-unit. Ask all of them. How do you run your numbers? How do you know when you're staring at a deal?
That's a good, yeah. How do you run the numbers?
Because then if you can analyze, if you know how to analyze deals like your buyers analyze deals. Now, here's why you want to know that. Because instead of calling them and saying, tell me if this one works, I'm going to know how they run their numbers, and I'm going to call up and say, Sawyer, I've got one for you. This one fits exactly what you're looking for. Here's the address.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm not asking them if they want it. I'm asking them, when can you go see it?
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
It's like the guy who wanted to make 14% return, Sawyer. Remember that guy? Or 12?
Yeah, I have him. What's his name? Christian? Yeah.
Yeah, and then when we sent him over that deal, I mean, he should want that deal.
He passed on it, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, he passed on it.
Yeah, it fit his numbers, and he still didn't want it.
Yeah, that was, which one was 12%? This one was the duplex, I believe. I think it was because of the tax liens.
Oh, the $40,000 in tax liens that the seller forgot to tell us about.
Yeah, that one was a big hitter. We would have got that sold already because I had a lot of people who were looking to buy that property, and then we found out about the tax liens.
Is the seller willing to bring any money to closing?
Yeah, we have someone who's willing to pay for all of the tax liens and then give us a good profit. However, I've been getting in contact with the seller for the past week now, and it's been very difficult because I guess he had an incident with his eye, and I've been bugging him every day to say, hey, we want to clear your debts. We have a solution for you. However, we're going to have to lower the price that we originally had because he didn't disclose about the $30,000 in back taxes. And it's been tough to actually get him to sign the new contract. I've been on his butt every day, though.
Does he have to bring money to the closing at the new price or no?
No, that's the thing. It's just some people just don't get it done. It's
this is
not
why,
even a matter of it making sense.
This is why you have to have 10 to 20 in the pipeline.
Yeah.
At least 10. Because,
yeah,
people are, We have one right now where the this lady bought two houses that she wants to sell with her ex-boyfriend who's incarcerated. So, and now he's trying to run point from prison saying, no, these are worth more and blah, blah, blah. And he's locked up. So anyway.
Exactly. It's some people are just not.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
Yeah, that is part of it.
You'll have deals where people just say, yeah, give me $5,000 and I'll take it. And then you'll have other ones that require more time and attention. It's just part of it.
One of the guys today said he couldn't sign the contract we sent him because he lost his eye.
Yeah, that's the guy who I'm talking about. You know,
what does that even mean?
He was involved in an incident where he lost his eye.
Holy cow.
And he forgot to tell us about the $30,000 in back taxes, so we had to lower the price on him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
There's a number of craziness to deal with these sellers, but I think the big
thing
for
us, really above board. Some people are really normal. Some people are a little bit nuts. You'll come across all of the above.
Yeah.
So, just did
and
what it is.
For you, in terms of zip codes you were talking about at the beginning, what is your process to know how quality a zip code is? What type of criteria does it have to hit?
There's only one criteria. Are buyers buying there? That's it.
That's it? Okay.
I don't care what they want. Are they buying there? And I know that by either they told me or I pull data from ListSource and it shows me that they're buying there.
Okay. What if it's like a high grade A neighborhood where it's very tough to get a vacant house? Does that still try to get some vacant properties out of that.
Sure.
Even if there's probably very few leads.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, your bird dogs are going to, you know, they're going to want to go to places where they can be productive while they're driving. But, yeah, absolutely. Say, hey, this one, I think it's going to be a little more thin, but let's send you over here, and then I'll give you, you know, I'll give you one that should have more vacants in it next time. Let's go clear this one quick.
Got it. And then if a bird dog has already done a zip code, at what point should I have a bird dog go back to that same zip code if we want to, if other buyers are being in there, we've already called through those same leads that we got from a bird dog. Should we go back and try to bird dog it again, or?
Not if you have the addresses current. I mean, you're not going to go back a week later and see 10 more vacant houses, right? So
No.
Like the way we do it is clear one at a time, keep track of when you gave the bird dog that zip code on the date. And I like to track when it was cleared too. You know, they let me know, hey, I just drove this one. And so I keep notes on that. And so now we're going to go clear all the other relevant zip codes in the city, and then we can start over.
Got it. And I don't know, does anyone else have questions? I feel like I'm hogging.
Sawyer, first call hog. What's going on? Darren's fault, though. I'll blame
him. Being nice. I'm saying, hey, guys, any questions out there? Anyone?
He has a lot of questions all day.
Yep. That's all Darren did. Sawyer was pawing off your questions on me this afternoon. I see what's going on. Yeah, who's got a question? Question or an update? Anybody?
Okay. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
When in the process does Rob send out the postcard with click to mail? Is that only the people that he's tried to contact and he can't get a hold of them, or he can't get the right skip trace numbers, and then he sends it out?
Yeah. If phone numbers aren't working. Yep.
Okay.
He does a postcard if phone numbers aren't working, and then if he gets a hold of somebody and they have a conversation, they've maybe made an offer, and then they go MIA, then he'll send that letter and an offer. A lot of times with the contract, that's good for 72 hours. Put paperwork in front of them and see if they'll sign it, or at least call them back. So those are the two ways. But, phone first. Because here's what's going on. Depending on how busy and competitive your markets are, where you're at, a lot of investors, here's the thing. There are, right, millions and millions of people call themselves real estate investors. Like I was saying, very few ever do a deal. And very few send direct mail, but there are enough that send direct mail. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said he's getting about 10 postcards a week on his rentals. Right. And so what's cool about our method is everybody knows to send direct mail. And so what we do is, you know, go beyond that and say, hey, let's find a phone number and call, build some rapport. Because after you get the first 2 to 5 to 20 postcards, people just, you know, they're sorting their mail. They just grab them and chuck them. They're not even getting looked at. And then we show up with a phone call. So, but yeah, if you, you know, try direct mail, if you can't get a hold of them and the deal looks solid, shoot them a postcard quick. I mean, it doesn't cost much. What is it? 89 cents, 88 or 89 cents, I think. And click to mail will send it for you, that email to mail feature. So yeah, phone numbers first.
Mm-hmm. And Darren, I think the click to mail is probably good for those markets that have fewer vacant properties, like those A type neighborhoods. Those are probably good for click to mail, is my guess. What are your thoughts for that, Mike? You think that's true or no?
Phone first, direct mail second.
Phone first. Okay.
Yeah. Don't stereotype.
And wherever
the
buyer said, Sawyer.
Okay.
I mean, you could go. There are $1 million houses that are sitting vacant. You could find them the same way.
Yep.
For that's people true. That want to, you know, there are investors that just target multi-million dollar houses and, you know, completely different game, and you do a couple deals and they pay huge and that kind of thing. But I mean, you could look for apartments and target vacants. So yeah, stick to the method.
Stick to the method. Okay.
And you guys, I mean, you're probably not generating leads in the million-dollar neighborhoods, because that's not typically where the absentee owner data is going to come out of ListSource, and that's not where your buyers are saying to go. So
true.
Let that data steer where you generate leads. It's as easy as that. Where are buyers buying? Let's go there.
All right.
You
know,
there's no,
that's number one we have
more,
to get.
You don't have to put any more thought into it.
Where are buyers buying? Go there.
You can pay for that data from ListSource, or you can get that data for free by calling buyers and having a conversation with them. Do both.
And can you go over the creative ways to get in touch with more buyers again? I know you listed several of them, but it was difficult for me to write them all down. You're saying talk to title companies.
Yeah, they're all in. Darren can just pull that out of the training. But yeah, title companies, property managers, Craigslist, social media, Facebook groups.
Okay. I got the.
What's that?
I'll send him the list.
Yeah.
RIAs. There's got to be a Pittsburgh RIA, I would think. Real Estate Investors Association,
be.
Just a real estate club. Meetups. You can go to meetup.com.
Meetups.
And look for real estate meetups in Pittsburgh. Find out who's the organizer.
And then I can just reach out to them through meetup.com.
A lot of times their information is just posted there.
Okay.
Or at least an email to get a hold of them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely a lot to go off of. I'm pretty good. I think I have all my questions answered.
Cool.
Darren, you got anything else or anything you'd like me to ask?
No. I think you covered it all.
Darren, did you get your TV show yet?
I'm working on it, man. We had two more producers call us.
Did you really?
In the last 2 weeks, yeah. So they must be. They must
you guys
be
are going
the
distance.
Area hard.
You're going the distance. So Darren and his wife Kate shot a sizzle reel for a Cleveland Fix and Flip show. Which network? HGTV.
Yeah.
Cool.
You got to wait for Chip and Joanne to cancel their show.
Shot the sizzle reel, so waiting to see what's going to happen with it. Pretty cool.
We're praying. Say a prayer for us, please.
Pretty cool stuff.
One of the producers actually coming to Cleveland tomorrow. He's coming here tomorrow, so hopefully we're going to go have he said margaritas. I said coffee, but whatever.
I'd go with what he said.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's the producer.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
One more quick note. We drove all the way to Columbus yesterday for the Best of Ohio. The Home Builders Association has an annual party where they switch the president from last year, you know, welcomes in the new president, and then they give away all the awards for the year. Kate and I submitted four different categories, kitchen, bathroom, best home renovation up to $250K, and best renovation up to $500K, and we won first place in all four categories.
Is this 2 years in a row?
Last year we won best new construction, 2,500 square feet and below, but this year we went four.
Four.
Next year it's going to be eight.
Next year, yeah. I don't know. It's
double it.
That producer shows up and you sit down and you say, hey, let me tell you how this is going to work. We just went four for four.
Right.
That's awesome. You guys are doing good work.
Like, it's just the network that has to say yes. I mean, the producer, he's been ready since April.
That's cool.
So
good stuff.
Anyway. I'd rather wholesale about 1,000 deals next year than have a TV show. So if I can do that,
isn't that funny? I think it'd be really cool. I hope you guys pull it off because I think you're perfect for it.
Yeah.
But the thought of me walking into a restaurant and somebody recognizing me makes me want to vomit. I'm just 100% introvert. So just give me the wholesale deals without any sort of notoriety, please.
Right.
Crack me up.
I think
yeah, man.
Agree with that.
That can go cool places though. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff. Yep. You just never know.
All right, I'm going to go play with my four-year-old. That's who's crying in the background here.
Yep, that sounds good. Go be daddy.
Yep. All right, thank you, Mike. I'll be in touch.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Mike Hussain, how are you?
Hey, Hussain.
Good.
Where are we at?
I got the bias-less contracts.
Okay.
The VA came back yesterday. Give me the phone numbers and contact names. So
okay.
I'm going to start calling. Yesterday,
you're calling sellers?
Sellers. Cash buyers.
Okay. Sellers or buyers?
Cash buyers. Sorry. Cash buyers.
Okay. Well, you can find those. You can find those on Craigslist. So what did you skip trace?
No, I got it from the Freedom Shop, the 30 cash buyer list. And
gotcha.
Those lists has been skip traced and got the phone numbers and cash buyer names. So
yep.
I could call them up.
Did you call the ones that I sent you off that link?
I did not. So I'm going to try that tomorrow and then call my cash buyer list.
Okay. Yep. Call your buyers and then. I can't remember. Do you have bird dogs moving yet?
No, not yet. So that will be the
okay.
next step.
Talk to 5 to 10 cash buyers and ask them what zip code do you buy in. Write them all down. Save them in FreedomSoft. Also ask them, are there any zip codes that you avoid that you just won't look at a deal in, all right? What's going to happen, Hussain, is after you've talked to 3 to 5, there's going to be some overlap. As soon as you have 2 buyers tell you the same zip code, I want you to go right to finding a bird dog and send them there to that zip code to start, okay?
Okay.
And then while they're driving for leads, you can talk to more buyers. But if you get 2 local buyers to tell you that, you know, this is where I buy in this part of town, the others are going to be looking there also. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else is with us? Any other questions? Want to make sure we cover everybody.
What's Rob got coming out next?
Oh, he's always
stuff.
Yeah, he's always got.
Didn't he
something
say he's got
going.
A book coming out or a book or something coming
yeah.
out?
Yeah,
franchise.
Yep, franchise book. First franchise is sold. Real Estate From Anywhere. They are launching a franchise model, which I think is a really cool name. Basically, you know what he's always taught. Live where you want, buy and sell where it makes sense.
Right.
So, and yeah, he was, I asked him about the book. You know, I was kind of busting his chops about it. Like, hey, this thing was supposed to be here in December. That was a year ago almost. And, you know, some more research, led him a couple different directions on how he wanted to finish it up. So I think it's still on the radar. I haven't talked to him about it in a couple months though, but. Yeah, they're just
too
rocking and rolling
in
Memphis, and I think they bought 9 2 weeks ago. I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. They bought 9 that week. You know, just buying and selling on a weekly basis, working the exact same system, same stuff, and then yeah, getting the franchise up and running. That's been kind of a process for he and Brad to do, but they finally, I think the first one just closed here in the last couple of days. So, all kinds of fun. All sorts of fun. Well, if there aren't any other questions, it got quiet after I asked last time. I want to make sure there's nothing else.
All right, let's go eat some turkey.
That's it. Yeah, everybody.
The next Monday. Good call.
Keep your feet on the gas. Hey, next week, Thursday, Thanksgiving. So we'll do Monday, Wednesday. And then we'll have the long weekend because Friday will most likely be hanging out with the fam and that kind of thing. So plan on Monday, Wednesday next week. I'll send out an email about it. But Monday, Wednesday. So, yeah, everybody, make it a any questions, get them into the coaching email. Make it a productive Friday and over the weekend. Look for some good updates on Monday. And, yeah, keep it rocking and rolling. Talk soon, everybody. Have a good afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Yep, see ya.